I'm absolutely besotted with all fish. So I feel if we're going to take a fish from the ocean, I have to get the most value out of him. And to do that, I need to look after him the best and really ensure that the quality is perfect so that people down the line can appreciate it.
This is Fish Tales, a seafood podcast. I'm John Sussman. South Africa is a unique and special place. With over 10,000 marine species along some 3,500 kilometres of coastline, it's home to some of the largest single species fisheries in the world. South African hake is the fish inside the batter of 1 in 4 fish and chip orders worldwide. Fishing is a strange business in the modern world. It remains as the last protein that still relies on the skills of the hunter, yet the industrialisation of the fishing process has been the cause for much destruction of marine resources. Greenfish is a business heading in the opposite direction. It's a South African supplier of sustainable, fresh fish sourced exclusively from low-impact fisheries. Born of founder Ryan Nienaber's love for fishing in the ocean, Greenfish champions responsible fishing practices while celebrating how truly special seafood is to eat. Ryan Nienaber is truly a star of the sea.
On my 5th birthday, my dad bought me a little yellow fishing rod. And most kids want to party with the sweets and balloons, and all I wanted to do was go down to the river. So we went down to the river on my 5th birthday with this yellow fishing rod that he had bought me, and I caught my first fish that day on age 5. Since then, every puddle, stream, dam, rock pool, ocean, no matter where it is, has been my addiction for the rest of my life. And from that, that's when it was born. And I fished through high school to make pocket money, and the business really developed from there after school, when I formalized it into what you could call a real business, starting out of mom's driveway with one delivery vehicle, and then did a major upgrade and put a chest freezer in mom's garage. And just grew it very organically from there on up. So I'm based in Cape Town in South Africa. So I'm the founding member of a company called Greenfish. I grew up as a line fisherman here on the West Coast, and spent most of my youth catching fish on the southern tip of Africa in Cape Agulhas, where we formed a love for the ocean with my brother and myself. We grew up as handline fishermen, and we developed this passion into a business that services the high-end restaurants for the last almost 20 years. And now, going into this lockdown COVID period, we've gone from a B2B business to a B2C, and we are servicing the home consumers with fresh fish that is caught daily from our artisanal handline fishermen. They are very, very fortunate consumers. They are getting fantastic produce from sea to plate in under 24 hours delivered to their door.
The home port of Greenfish is Cape Town, at the edge of the southwest corner of the African continent, and the safe haven from some of the roughest waters on the planet.
We are very blessed with our geographic location. We obviously, being the southern tip of Africa, we get the cold water funneling down the west coast in the Benguela current, and we get the hot water funneling down the east coast, which is the Mozambique current. And this forms a melting pot of sea life off of Cape Point. So we get all our nutrient-rich bait fish from the cold water, and all our predator fish from the hot water, and that just becomes a feeding frenzy. And we predominantly target the pelagic species here of yellowfin tuna, albacore, which we call longfin, yellowtail, and snook. In our sector, being line fishing and pole fishing sectors, that those are the fish that we concentrate our efforts on, purely because their numbers are really healthy, and it's a more viable option for us to pursue on our small scale size fishing. There are a number of other sectors which are targeting things like hake and kingklip, but those are with nets and other methods.
Around the world, there is a growing movement of artisan fishers for whom quality over quantity is the mandate, and where the passion of the hunt and respect for the catch is the primary driving principle. Ryan is one such fisherman.
Any normal businessman would say, Ryan, what are you doing? Your economies of scale are way out. You're crazy to do what you do. And they would be 100% right. Our method and our style of fishing is very low impact. It's somewhat prehistoric in a way. If you look at the gear, we're literally using a little hand line and a fishing hook. And that's manned by one person. So it's one hook, one line, one fish at a time is the way that we're catching it. And as I say, we heavily undergunned in terms of we're very limited with the size of our boats. So we got a lot of weather constraints. Our technology is pretty backwards. And as I said, if you wanted to, you know, the joke in this business is, how do you make a small fortune? You start with a big one. And, you know, any business savvy man would say, Ryan, no, get a big net and just whip out the whole school. And then your petrol and expenses versus your reward is going to be greater. But this is something that absolutely runs in my veins and what I love. And I'm not going to change what I do for anything.
Fishing is a tough and grueling job. The hook and line fisherman's job made even harder by the limited catch, long hours, and in the case of Ryan, some of the most dangerous waters to be found. A simple day at the office means literally putting his life at risk.
So as most fishing journeys begin, it's an early morning, normally up 2-3 in the morning. And once we've decided what we're going to target and which area we're going to launch, we will obviously do all the preparation the day before, because different species require different tactics and different tackle. So we'll do our prep the day before, icing and baiting up the boat and getting it ready to go to sea. And once we've selected our area and we've checked the weather, we will pretty much launch and head out. And so we're focusing a lot at the moment for yellowtail off Cape Point. So we're going out of Cape Point from sunrise pretty much to sunset. When the day is done, we offload directly into our own refrigerated trucks. We transport it back to our family-run and owned facility here in Cape Town. And once our orders have been accumulated through our online system, those orders get prepped the following morning and get dispatched directly to our customers. So, yeah, that's a very short overview. Besides all the daily winds and grinds of any business with the staff and adhering to HACCP principles and you know, fixing the puncture on the delivery vehicle, those curveballs are all part of the daily grind.
The International Pole and Line Foundation mission is to develop, support and promote socially and environmentally responsible pole and line and hand line fisheries around the world. Ryan and Greenfish have been at the vanguard of this movement, helping to build artisan coastal fisheries, including the people, communities, businesses and seas connected with them, often in remote locations.
So St. Helena Island is a small island, roughly 8 kilometers by 4 kilometers, that's situated in the middle of the deep Atlantic, in the south of the ocean. It's if you draw a line between Cape Town and America through the ocean, it's kind of in the middle. It's a tiny little speck of land that sits there, and it was where Napoleon was exiled to many years ago. As Greenfish, when we heard that there was this airport opening there, we flew over there. We did some workshops with the local fishermen, and we successfully exported the first fresh fish off the island with the help of the new airline. So, yeah, it was a great milestone for us. And we were just looking to try and expand their market and their reach and develop a new community-based fishery. So they catch a bit of wahoo, a little bit of grouper. They've got a couple endemic lobsters that they have there. One of them, slipper lobster, very similar to the Moreton Bay bug. And they've got a spiny long-legged lobster, but all endemic to the area. So predominantly they're focusing their attention on yellowfin and big-eye tuna. One of the interesting challenges that we faced, being a very remote island nation, is something simple. If we pack Pak Chunia in Cape Town. I pick up the phone. I phone the box man and I say, hey, bud, I need 1,000 cartons on Friday. We're doing a pack and Friday morning there the boxes are. In Santa Elena, we couldn't even get a box. We had to fly our first boxes over there in an aeroplane, and from using a traditional styrofoam insulated box, we had to look at something that we could flat pack and assemble on the island. So we had all these interesting challenges, and it made the project very exciting.
With a culinary scene that has exploded over recent decades and a broad range of seafoods coming from across the African continent, it seems that Cape Town is definitely a place to watch. Indeed, until COVID, was regarded as the number one tourist destination in the world.
South Africa as a nation is very young. We don't carry the history of Europe and these very established, old ways of cooking. We have a lot of very talented up-and-coming chefs that are doing revolutionary work with some of our local produce. And one of the things that is becoming really great is that they're hearing local and fresh produce over imported things at the moment. And I'm really grateful for this, because we're giving appreciation and respect to fish that's been caught locally and served locally. So Cape Town, being one of those magical tourist destinations that we are fortunate enough to live in, draws a huge number of tourists every year. So we've got a real good foodie following in Cape Town with tourism and our local trendsetters. So our seafood is great. We're very blessed to have options from both the hot and the cold side. So we get a diverse list of fish, from langoustines out of Mozambique to beautiful fatty tunas off Cape Point, sea basses. We absolutely got a melting pot of variety here. So we are a very diverse culture for starters. So we've got a nation with very poor people, and we've got a nation with some very wealthy people. So the divide across our population is quite vast. On your low LSM consumer, those guys are eating fish simply to survive. So they're looking, what is the maximum protein I can get for the money that I have on hand? There are things like mars bunker, or we also call it horse mackerel, snook, which is very similar to the New Zealand barracuda. Those consumers are eating these cheaper fish, where they're getting a couple kilos of protein for their few rands. On the other side of the scale, on the higher side, we've got beautiful East Coast soles, which is an absolute delicacy, much similar to what you and I ate in Brussels at the Dover sole. And we've got things like our yellowfin tuna, which I feel is a world-class fishery on our doorstep. We've got where the fishermen are applying the right techniques. We've got sashimi-grade yellowtail. So we also have the king clip, which you refer to as the ling, and that's just about on every single menu in South Africa as a go-to. So yeah, we're very blessed. I wouldn't say we have one species that takes the cake in that regard.
South Africa is a country still divided between rich and poor. The need to simply survive means that pretty much everything that is caught has a mouth to go to. The use of underutilized species is not a fashion, but a reality. For Ryan, the notion of eating local, underutilized species is sustainability in action.
I think what's been overlooked for many years are some of our low-value species. And everybody was on this huge Norwegian salmon gravy train, if you want to call it, for many years. And, you know, if you look at the carbon footprint from that, from to be flown all the way to South Africa to be served in a restaurant here, and you're not eating local. There's been a couple of our smaller fish species which are previously been undervalued that are starting to be heroed by some of these chefs. There's a fish called the black bream, which traditionally only the artisanal handline guys went out and caught. And it was traditionally a very low-valued item, and now I see the price on that are going up, and it's driving the fishermen to go and target those fish, which is great. So they're using fish that are where the resource is healthier. So that's one of the examples on the fishing side. On the aquaculture side, there's a lot of abalone being grown here, a lot of oysters and mussels. And in response to that salmon shortage, if you want to call it, there are guys on the West Coast which are growing freshwater trout in the ocean. They're calling it an ocean trout. So born in freshwater and raised in seawater in the cold Atlantic Ocean. And it's giving it a different flavor profile and really something to look forward to as an alternative to an imported product.
The tuna is a mighty fish. Built for speed, it is one of the few warm-blooded fish in the sea. It is the fisherman's fish to catch and the sashimi aficionado's fish to eat. For Ryan, the tuna is absolutely the king of the sea, a challenge to find, hard to catch, and worthy of maximum respect.
I'm absolutely besotted with all fish, but if I had to choose one, it's a tuna. Just the whole anatomy, how the fins fit into the side of the body, how the speed and the shape and how the eyes are shaped. It's just totally intriguing. And from a fishing aspect, it's this cat and mouse game of somewhat trying to trick him into taking a baited hook, which, you know, it's the hunter and the prey back and forward cat and mouse game that goes on, and really learning to understand the conditions and the environment to be able to catch these fish. But for me, as someone that's harvested from the ocean my entire life, I find great satisfaction in when we take a fish out the ocean to give it the absolute respect it deserves by giving him the best life possible once we've taken him. And what I mean by that is ensuring that the quality is excellent. So I feel if we're going to take a fish from the ocean, I have to get the most value out of him. And to do that, I need to look after him the best and really ensure that the quality is perfect so that people down the line can appreciate it. I can appreciate all seafood. So whether you're going to serve me a jellyfish that's sashimi'd or a common bream or the best piece of toro in Skiji Fish Market, I appreciate all seafood for what it is. How I want it prepared? I want it prepared as basic as possible. If I only have a choice, I'll say for any piece of grilled fish, salt and pepper and a dollop of butter, and I'm happy because I want to taste the fish. I don't want it drowned in sauce or anything that will distract from the hero of the dish, which is the fish.
The seafood world is changing fast. With every consumer only two mouse clicks away from an opinion, the needs of the consumers, distributors, and fishermen are often being determined by influences out of their hands, but the relationship between the source of supply and the end diner has never been of more importance.
I believe South Africa, well, I think the world's markets are on a pivotal point of change, and I believe our industry is going to change going forward. I like to think I'm one of the front runners in our evolution of what we're doing. And I think what we're doing as a family fisher business and forging those relationships between our consumers and the fishermen is going to take a stronger approach going forward, where traditionally people are buying at supermarkets and they had no connection to their produce. I feel I'm seeing this relationship forge, and I'm truly feeling like a fishmonger at the moment, where Mrs. Jones down the road is saying, "Hey Ryan, thank you, that was a beautiful fish. Tomorrow, do you mind just cutting it into smaller portions for me, because the husband's not going to be home for dinner," or whatever the case may be. And I feel that we're going back to basics in that regard, to what was done many, many years ago, where we're going to reconnect people with their food, with the story.
Fish people are by nature curious and nomadic. They will travel the world for a seafood experience, often going to extremes to find that perfect catch or perfect meal. Ryan has spent many years on the seven seas, seeking out the ultimate seafood memory.
one of the most humbling experiences that I've ever had. I was in Thailand visiting some mussel and prawn farms, and the people invited me into their home for lunch, and this house was on stilts in the middle of this bay, and they prepared a barramundi for me steamed, and we ate this, my wife and I ate this traditional fish that they had steamed, and I still remember the flavors, the look in that lady's face when we ate this fish. And I felt so embarrassed because this fairly humbled family that's invited us into their house, and I couldn't finish all the food that they had provided for us, and I felt so embarrassed for not finishing this meal because it was simply too much. And it just reminisces through my veins when I'm thinking of this, sitting in that hut on the ocean and eating this steamed fish. And yeah, it's this buildup of all these little memories that we get through our lifetime that I suppose makes us who we are.
This is Fish Tales, a seafood podcast, a Deep in the Weeds production. I'm John Sussman. Follow us on Instagram at Fishtails Seafood Podcast, or email us at fishtailspodcast@deepintheweeds.com.au. Stay tuned for more tales from beneath the surface of the seafood world every Friday on your podcast app.